Melachim Aleph Perek Tes Pasuk Dalin. Ve'atim tev chafonai kasher alach David avicha b'tam levav u'b'yosher la'asit k'chol shertzi v'sicha chukai u'mishpotai tishmar. So I think we started mentioning in the last week how now Shlomo Melech is asking for two things. He's asking, first of all, that he's going to, Hashem will dwell in Beis Hamikdash at all times. And the second thing he was asking for was that the Malchus of Beis David will continue forever. Now, the first thing Hashem answered, he said, yes, I will always be in the Beis Hamikdash. The Shekhinah never left the Beis Hamikdash. I don't know if I mentioned, but there was a question that was brought to Rabbi Yashiv, if people should go daven and other Kivri Tzadikim, other Kvarim of great people elsewhere, even in other countries, or should they go daven in the Kaisa? What's a better place to daven? Rabbi Yashiv answered, he replied, it's better to daven on the Kaisa than to go to any other Kivri Tzadikim, because Shekhinah lo yizadah me'olam. The Shekhinah never left the Kaisa, never left the Beis HaMikdash. It's always there forever. And this is what he was referring to, this pasuk, that Hashem promised you will always keep a Shekhinah in the Makom HaMikdash, wherever the Beis HaMikdash is, even after Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. However, with the second request of Shlomo, that the Malchus will never leave Beis David forever, that Hashem says it depends. If you will follow me, if his descendants will follow me, that I will do. If you will not, then I will not keep you. Now, I think we mentioned last time that the second generation after David, Hashem promised David HaMelech that the second generation will be his. That Shlomo will continue to be the Melech. And that did not depend on anything. That was regardless of what Shlomo HaMelech did or not. We see even later on, when Shlomo HaMelech sinned, even when he had many, many wives, he had 1,000 wives, and they caused him to sin. We'll see later exactly what happened. Either they caused him to sin, or they sinned, they brought up a desire into the house, and because Shlomo was not Meichib, because he did not say anything, therefore, he's considered as if he was Chayta himself as well. We'll see when we get there. But regardless, we find that Shlomo Melech, to some degree, he sinned. And still, Hashem did not take away the Melucha from him, even after he sinned. We see clearly that Hashem is fulfilling his promise that the Malchus will remain with Beis David, even meaning for the second generation after David, even after they sin. Even after Shlomo sins. That's what we're talking about. Right? But he says, so what I promised David, that the second generation will be king, that depends. If you will leave me, Hashem is saying, if you will leave me and not keep my mitzvahs, and you will go ahead and you will worship other gods, what's going to happen? V'chirati es Yisrael ma'al pnei ha'adam asher nasati lehem v'esabayis asher gidashti l'shmi ashalach ma'al ponai. I will cut off the Jewish people from the land, from Eretz Yisrael, and the house that I built for you, I will destroy. Now, this seems like a negative thing. Seems like Hashem is saying, oh, I'm going to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. But in reality, it's a positive thing. And this actually ties to this week's parasha. In this week's parasha, we find that Hashem tells Moshe, because you hit the rock and didn't speak to it, I will go ahead and I will punish you. You're not going to be the one to enter the land. Instead Yeshua, your student, will be the one. So the question is, first of all, what Hashem performed the miracle regardless, right? We find that the Shekhinah obviously agreed to what Moshe did. Because even when he hit the rock and didn't speak to it, right? Still, the nace happened. It's not like the nace didn't happen when he hit it. So clearly, the Shekhinah agreed with what Moshe did. So why is Hashem, so to speak, coming in and complaining to Moshe and holding Moshe accountable for hitting the rock instead of speaking to it, if this is something that Hashem agreed to anyway?
Where do we learn that it was because he hit the rock? Hashem said, because you didn't show me...
Right. Ya Allah himanti bilak tisheni. Because... Right, that's what he's referring to.
I interpret it differently. I interpret it that that Moshe was saying, can we bring you water from a rock? We, meaning he and Aaron, I guess, as opposed to Hashem. And will Hashem bring you water? And this was disrespectful.
But when Moshe hit the rock, that was plan number two. Because it worked before. He see, this is not working. Why do I have the staff with me? Probably I should go to plan number two.
He was told to take
what did Hashem want from him? That it was wrong. What was wrong with plan number two?
It wasn't plan number two. He was told right. to take the staff and speak to the rock. Take the staff and speak to the rock.
No.
He took the staff, and that's not true.
And then he hit the rock.
He wasn't told to hit it.
Right, he wasn't told to hit it.
What's the difference if you talk or you hit it, but still a mess of water comes out of a rock?
You're right. It's still a big nace. And we're going to talk about that. I'm actually going to speak between Menachem and Marav. We'll talk exactly there are many questions with this whole thing. Obviously, it's a big nace. Rather, you speak to the rock, you hit the rock.
Like we mentioned before, but he's telling him if you do the right thing, he's good. What actually was Shlomo asking him? He can't be asking if the Jews start worshiping idols that it should be okay. He couldn't. That can't be what he asked him.
Right, well...
He can't ask him to do that and expect nothing to happen. It's got to be maybe yet a small avails that ain't so bad.
Right, so this is what we were talking about last time.
He always puts in... You would hide my commandments, and you worship other gods. That's the worst. Worshiping other gods throws everything away. You don't believe me, period. I you could say if you didn't do what I told you, well, all right. You believe I exist and I want to do this, but for some reason you didn't do it. That isn't so damn bad. As worship of idols, that means you don't believe anything. You gotta say, "Well, I'm sorry, I couldn't help myself." You know, maybe that's what he's asking for. When people make mistakes, or even if they do it willingly, but they couldn't help themselves, then he shouldn't leave. I mean, he couldn't ask him if they're gonna, you know, bow to idols and stuff, that he shouldn't leave.
Well, what happened to Shlomo? Shlomo, it seems, at the end of his life, either he bowed down to idols himself, or his wife caused him to do it. So he was involved in Avodah Zarah at the end of his life. And Hashem still kept the Malchus with him. He didn't take it away once he got involved in Avodah Zarah.
Yeah, but
how do you explain that?
Did he do it on his own or because of his wife's?
Okay.
Did he really believe in it?
All right, but
we'll
get in there, but we'll get to that. We'll see. All but right. Regardless, we find that Shlomo was involved to some degree in Avodah Zarah. Right.
When I get out of all these things here, where you? And we make mistakes. even Shlomo and David,
yeah,
and things they talked. They and so, what does he want from us?
Yes, it's true, but it says that there's always there's a Gemara that says that when someone has a he says, oh, I couldn't learn Torah because I was too poor. What does Hashem say? Oh, were you poorer than Hillel? You were not poorer than Hillel, right? So don't tell me, right, that you're poor and that's why you couldn't learn Torah, because Hillel was the poorest man on earth and he could still learn Torah. Right? It said, the Gemara says, every day he would make a certain amount of money. I forgot exactly the amount. Half of it he would use to support his house. The other half he would go ahead and pay to go into the Beis Medrash and learn Torah. Right? So we see that, and the Gemara says there's another, anyone who says, such a Baal Taiva, I couldn't keep your mitzvahs because I was such a Baal Taiva. So Hashem says, oh really, did you have a stronger Nisayan than Yosef? Yosef had the most difficult Nisayan of all with Eishes Beit Tifar, and he still withstood the Nisayan, right? If Yosef could do it, anyone could do it. So don't tell me that because you were such a Baal Taiva, that's what you couldn't do, that's why you couldn't keep my Torah.
No.
So Hashem, so on and so forth, right? Hashem says, everyone who says, oh, I can't do the Torah because whatever, right? Hashem says, there are plenty of people.
I'm too busy. My wife wants me to do this. Whatever.
Right.
Anyone can find an excuse.
There's always an excuse, right? The point is, but you're right. You're right. We do say, right, we're not. The Torah wasn't given to the Malachim, right? We're not all human beings. We're not angels. We're not Malachim. We don't have supernatural powers, and we're dealt with challenges. We're given challenges, and yeah, sometimes we fall. Everyone does a virus, right? Everyone does a virus.
You talk for yourself.
Okay, I do affairs. I don't know, you guys are tzaddikei elyon, right? I do affairs.
Everyone.
Listen, right? No one's perfect. The point is that you have to, you can't say, oh, you know, what do you want from me, right? I can't do anything, right? You have to have the right balance, right? You have to know what you're capable of and be responsible for that. On the other hand, you know, okay, whatever, I messed up. All right, it's not the end of the world. Even great people messed up. So you get up again and you keep on going. That's what we learn from them, right? We learn from David Melech. David Melech, after the Chet of Bathsheba, when people thought that, you know, he did the worst thing on earth, he could have just given up and ran into the woods and, you know, given up the Malchus and say, okay, that's it, I'm done with it, I messed up, I'm over, right? But no, right? He kept on going. So even Shlomo Melech.
So what broke the camel's back?
With what?
At the end, he said he it was destroyed, both. So you're saying now he didn't take them in, and he lost it. But at the end, they lost the kingship.
Right. That was because the third generation, they messed up.
All right.
And Hashem did not promise the third generation that they will be given the Malchus without any condition. Hashem promised David that for the second generation, means Shlomo, he will get the Malchus without any condition. Right? That was no condition, no matter what he does, the Malchus will always remain with him. However, for the third generation, the generation after Shlomo, that Hashem did not promise. And Hashem said no.
All right.
This is good. He promised to Shekhinah will be always.
Yes.
But what is the idea to have Shekhinah with no people, with no temple? If he promised to destroy all Jewish people from the land?
Well, historically speaking, you're right. Many of the Jews did leave the land, but a lot of them stayed, even after the temple was destroyed.
No, but this is he promised to destroy all Jewish people from the earth.
He will cut them off from the earth. He's not going to completely annihilate them. I will cut them off the earth, meaning off the land that I gave them, off of Israel. Not completely from the world.
That means some people still live, but it's outside of Israel.
Yes.
It's a chance to go back.
Yeah, whenever they go back and they want to daven, like today.
But still,
we don't have the Beis Hamikdash, you have Jews living in Israel.
Shekhinah's all time in the land of Israel,
yes.
It doesn't matter if it's people here or not.
Yes. Shechina always remains there, no matter what.
Not follow Jewish people. It's desert.
Mm-hmm.
It's the desert. Shechina follows Israel people.
Yeah.
But if they come to Israel, they stay all the time.
Yeah, Shechina is always going to be there. Right, no matter what. Even though right now it seems like it's not there, it's a bit, what?
Now?
I'm saying you have a mosque in, you know, in the Beis HaMikdash, in the place of the Beis HaMikdash.
Because of this promise, I still believe that the Shechina is still in Israel, or not?
So we believe it's still there, yeah, for sure. But I'm saying even though it seems that it's not, because, you know, you have a mosque there, right? We have to know, we have to believe that the Shechina is always there. Right? Even when it seems that, like, it's not. Yeah? Yeah? It's good, Arkady?
But I agree, because of the Shechina is still here, there is why this still this question where to leave. Why people immediately don't go to Israel because Shechina is waiting for.
You're saying why don't people move to Israel if the Shechina is there?
No. If Shechina is Israel,
yeah.
Why some Jews still live in outside of Israel?
Why do some Jews live
outside
of Israel?
You ask yourself.
It's a good question.
No, but I am not religious people who actually believe pray much more strongly if you pray in Israel. This is something closer to Hashem.
You're right. So the Gemara actually says, and this is really the point of dispute. The Gemara says that when Hashem exiled the Jewish people, He promised them, He made them promise three things. One of the things He made them promise is Shelo yalu la'aretz b'chazka. They will not go ahead and forcefully enter the land of Israel. The question is, what does that mean? Does that mean they will not fight wars against, I don't know, the Arabs, Syria, Lebanon, Jordan, and Egypt in order to live in the land of Israel? Right? So that's why many people say, listen, you know, Hashem, we are right now in Golos. Hashem promised He will bring us back to Eretz Yisrael when He builds the Beis HaMikdash. Until then, Hashem made us promise not to go back. We're not going to forcefully go ahead and provoke the nations of the world by building our home in Israel. Right? That's how they're interpreting this Gemara. Right? So, but yeah, you have another approach to say, no, it's up to us. It's in our hands. Hashem obviously gave this opportunity. Right now we have, you know, a country, a Jewish country in Israel. And it's up to us to go ahead and take control, right? That refers also back to the Mechlekes. It's actually a Mechlekes between the Rishonim. How the third Beis HaMikdash is going to be built. Is it going to be built through Mashiach, right? Is it going to descend from the heavens? Should we want to have to do anything? Or will we be the ones to go ahead and take the first step, take the initiative, and build a Beis HaMikdash ourselves? So Mechlekes Rishonim. It's Rashi and Tosfos. We can go see. There are many Gemaras to talk about this. But this is two different approaches, right? Should we go ahead and do something, or is it up to Mashiach and Hashem to bring the third Beis HaMikdash?
But the thing that gets me, Israel is a Jewish land, but mm-hmm. the government's not Jewish. Jewish means they do the mitzvahs. That's what Jewish means.
No.
I'm also,
Jews that observe and Jews that don't observe it. They're still Jews.
Jews that don't observe it, it's not supposed to have the land. Well, they think everybody gets thrown out there because they didn't observe. The government is not a thing. What do you expect over there? If the government was good, they wouldn't have the trouble they have from all the other peoples.
Are you a novice?
That's a different approach.
It's just plain sense.
No, it's not that simple.
What do you mean it's not that different? Because in America, Jews do it and Jews don't do it. That's America. It's not the Jewish land.
Yeah, that's a different. That's you're right. A lot of people have that approach, and they say no. You know, the Jewish.
Not only that, the peoples that are not religious, some of them are, they just don't believe it. They think it's bull. There's some of the places they have. There's no such thing. That's plainly what happened over there. That's why everything was destroyed.
Right, that's why many people do not believe in the Jewish state. They say, listen, the Jewish state is a secular state. It doesn't support, doesn't believe in the Torah, right? It doesn't support...
I was reading a book about this Israeli policeman. He's not a policeman, he's a detective. I don't know what everything else. He's religious, he keeps Shabbos, but if a case comes up, he's got to work on it. You know, he's telling other things that happened over there. I mean, it's a book, I don't know. It's just fiction, probably. But
why? If you're a policeman and you're in Shabbos, you're in the army and it's Shabbos, what do you do? I say, hey, hold it.
Wait a minute,
wait till Sunday, I'll fight you.
I'm not talking about that somebody's attacking you. I'm talking about you're not religious, period. There's no fighting, there's no nothing. There's people in Israel that are not religious, they don't believe in Shabbos, they don't believe in nothing. And they're there. And those are the people, that's why they have trouble over there.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
you're blaming them or you're blaming the people over here?
You're saying that the government is not.
Yeah, I'm not saying
support,
that.
The do not support
here,
Tyrone.
What does that got to do with over there? Over there is Israel. He gave them the laws for Israel.
No, there's laws you got to observe here.
Now, because you don't have Israel anymore.
Yeah, so it's a different approach. There are different approaches, and that's why some people they believe. They're idealists. They want to live in Israel no matter what. So I'm saying even if you don't believe in the government, you could still live in Israel. Yeah. Saying living in Israel is a mitzvah.
Yeah.
It's machlokes we're showing if it applies nowadays or not. According to some opinions, there's no mitzvah to live nowadays in Eretz Israel because we don't have the Beis Hamikdash. According to other opinions, it's for the Ramban. According to the Ramban, for example, regardless that we have the Beis Hamikdash or not, it's always a mitzvah to live in the land, even if we don't have the Beis Hamikdash, right? So according to the Ramban, it doesn't matter what kind of government you have. If you have a Jewish government, not Jewish government, religious, not religious, it could be British, Ottoman. Doesn't make a difference. There's always a mitzvah to live in the land of Israel, right?
If you're religious.
Right, so that's why many people say, okay, we want to live in Israel, right? It's a mitzvah, no matter what.
But the government isn't. It's not a land they conquered, and the government was religious, and the people helped yes and all, right?
Right. But that's the mitzvah.
All right.
People who move there just because it's a mitzvah.
Right.
So back to what we were mentioning before, Martin, what you asked before. We're talking about why Hashem punished Moshe Rabbeinu, that because he didn't do because he did not hit the rock, because he did not speak to the rock, rather he hit it. Because you did not do a Kiddush Hashem by speaking to the rock, we'll elaborate between Mincha and Ma'ariv what exactly that means.
Did not you mention that? I read in the thing there that's an excuse Hashem gives him. He didn't want Moshe to go. He wanted Moshe to be buried where. So when Trias Amesim, all the other Jews they hear will follow him in.
Mm-hmm. Oh, interesting. Never heard that.
Did you ever hear that?
Never heard that. Where did you find that?
Yeah.
Interesting.
It was an excuse. I mean,
right.
He wasn't as bad as you think, but he had a reason for it. Besides that, somebody says that.
Interesting. Never heard that. But there's another reason that I saw. That Hashem, similar to what you were saying, that Hashem really did not want Moshe Rabbeinu to go in to the land. Yeah. Why didn't he not want Moshe to go into the land? Because if Moshe would go into the land of Israel, he would be the one to build the Beis HaMikdash. If he would be the one to build the Beis HaMikdash, it would be on such a high spiritual level that it would not be able to be destroyed. If the Beis HaMikdash would have been built by Moshe and wouldn't be able to be destroyed, what would happen is that once the Jewish people sin, Hashem would not be able to take out his wrath on the structure of the Beis HaMikdash. Rather, you'd have to take it out on the Jewish people themselves, and that would be not a pretty scene, to say the least. Yeah. So therefore, Hashem wanted Moshe not to enter the land of Israel. Now, there is a very interesting insight that the Nesiv Shalom brings down, that the tzaddikim, righteous people, do Ratzon Hashem, they do the will of Hashem all the time. Their body automatically does the Ratzon Hashem. We find an example to this with Avram Avinu. Avram, when he brought Yitzchak, for Akedas Yitzchak, he tied him up on the Mizbeach, he had all the wood ready, he was about to shecht him and burn him, and then what does it say? He says, V'yishlach es yodai v'yikach smachelas. He sent his hand to take the knife. Why did he have to send his hand? Just say, you grab the knife, right? You have to send your hand to get the knife. What does it mean you have to send your hand?
He had a police force in his hand to get it.
Exactly.
His hand didn't want to go.
Exactly. His hand didn't want to go. Why? Because really, Ratzon Hashem was, the will of Hashem was that he would not kill Yitzchak. That was really, in essence, the will of Hashem. So Avraham Avinu, because his body automatically did the Ratzon Hashem, he had to force his hand. He had to send his hand to go take the knife and kill Yitzchak, because his hand wouldn't go, like you were saying. Same thing over here. Moshe Rabbeinu, his body automatically did Ratzon Hashem. And since Ratzon Hashem was that he will disobey him and then be punished by not being able to enter the land, therefore, his body automatically did a Ratzon Hashem, and his body went ahead and hit the rock instead of speaking to the rock. Because
he had no choice.
Yeah,
that's what it's saying. He had no choice.
He had no choice. Yeah,
he wasn't supposed to go because it wouldn't be good for the Jewish people if they sinned. Well, who knows? You know, people have like that there.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
It's interesting. I never heard of this idea. There is something to mention some spiritual levels, and even Hashem is not able to change. What is the idea? Hashem is not able to destroy the temple. It means he has some restrictions, his ability to rule the world.
Okay, that's a good question. It's more entering like the mystical realm of things, but it's clear that the way something is built, obviously has a great influence on its continuation. And for example, we find that by Moshe, he refused to go ahead and listen to Hashem and redeem the Jewish people out of Egypt. Why did he refuse to do that? Right, Hashem is telling him, I want you to be the one and to redeem the Jewish people. Why is Moshe arguing with him for 7 days?
He gave him his excuses.
Right, he's giving all these excuses. Right.
Talk, my brother,
Hashem wants you to do something, you do it.
My brother won't like it, he's been ahead, how can I...
Right, obviously Hashem knows he has, it's not like he missed something, he miscalculated. Oh Hashem, did you notice that if I do this, then Hashem obviously knows that, right? It's not like he missed something or forgot about something. So one of the explanations given, sorry? Humility, yes, that's right. That's one explanation given, that he was humble. But another explanation given is that, again, based on what you're saying,
what did
that
he
said that he was humble.
Oh.
Because he was humble.
Well, yeah. Who am I?
Who am I, yes. But a deeper part of that is that Moshe understood that, meaning this was his take, that since he was humble and he felt he was in a lower level than, let's say, Aaron, for example, or anybody else who would be redeeming the Jewish people, therefore, that would impact the whole level, the whole the way the geula would take place would be in a completely different way, a completely different realm. Because it's going to be on a low, the whole geula will be on a lower level because he was, because he Moshe thought he was in a lower level. Therefore, the whole geula will be impacted and be on a lower level as well. That's why he didn't want to be the one to be the goyel. He didn't want to be the one to redeem the Jewish people. So we see that the beginning, the way things happened in the beginning, the way the people, the person who chose to lead it, you know, to start the building, whatever it is, that impacts the whole outcome of the way things are. So too, if Moshe Rabbeinu would build a Beis HaMikdash, it would not be able to destroy it. What wouldn't be able to be destroyed because it's such on a high spiritual level. So you're asking, oh, Hashem, you know, Hashem can't control the world. He can't decide if to destroy it or not. On some level, yes. You know, Hashem gives us the ability, He gives us the strength to make things happen in a certain way. Right?
Well, you say, because he, God appeased him any time he wanted to. Because God, Moshe Rabbeinu was there. He's the only one that God appeared to him any time.
Right.
Because he was always Kodesh and everything else. So, it makes sense that if he built him, it would be more because of what you just said.
Yeah.
Just some say, because he's the only one. Everybody else had to prepare themselves before they got the born, everything else. And he was right. In that level. So that's the level he would build it, and Hashem couldn't destroy it after that. So he would destroy the people instead. If they did bad.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense.
Okay, so let's see weiter. So let's see Pasuk Zayin. Pasuk Ches. We're in the middle of Pasuk Zayin. So Hashem is saying, I will cut off the Jewish people. I will destroy the house that I built. The Jewish people will be a laughingstock by the nations. People who pass by the Makom HaMikdash, the place that the Beis HaMikdash was built, meaning Har HaBayis, what's called in English? Temple Mount, right? People who pass by there, they will know the chashivus, the greatness of what it once used to be, and that will show everyone what a grave and serious sin the Jewish people must have done in order to deserve the destruction of this temple, right? And because it was so holy and high and pure, and now it's desolate and there's nothing there, that will be a clear sign to the great sin of the Jewish people. Because again, the greater the person, and it goes in direct, the Malbim explains that there's a clear connection to how the greater the level is of Kedusha, so too the greater the level of Tumah is. Meaning, that, for example, the Jewish people, because they can arise to great heights, they could also descend to such depths. Because they have the ability to grow so high, so too they have the ability to go so low. Right? Just like in order to build a really tall building,
you need in the middle.
Right. You need to dig really deep and get the roots really deep. Right? For example, it says in Mitzrayim, it says that the Jewish people were sunk to the 49th level of Tumah. Right? And if they would sink to the 50th level, then Hashem wouldn't be able to take them out. That's why he had to take them out so fast. But it says, after Hashem redeemed the Jewish people from Egypt, what does it say? It says that they were able to reach the 49th level of Kedusha. But they could not reach the 50th level of Kedusha. Why? Because they did not descend to the lowest 50th level of Tumah. So only because they were able to get down to the 49th level of Tumah, that's why they were able to achieve the 49th level of Kedusha later on. It says that before Mashiach comes, the Jewish people will descend to the 50th level of Tumah, And then after Mashiach comes, they will again be able to reach the 50th level of Kedusha. Meaning, we see that there's a direct correlation between how low you go to how high you go as well.
But I thought if you went that low, that you're finished.
It says that Hashem wouldn't be able to take them out of Egypt. There's other reasons, because they were in Egypt, they were tied in Egypt, well, so to speak.
But you're saying, even if they reach the 50th of below, they could get back up.
In Egypt, they couldn't get back up.
No, all right, but
so less than loving, they wouldn't be able to.
They would have done something different.
Yes. Okay. It was because they were in Egypt. That's why if once they reached the 50th level of Tumah, they wouldn't be able to then be redeemed. But late Lasidlavai, it will be different. We're not going to be in Egypt. It's all, the whole makeup is going to be very different. You're right. It's a good point. So the 50th level of Tumah is losing the Emuna, right? Losing the Emuna in Hashem, Emuna Pshuta. And because it says B'schus Emuna Nigula V'Seinu Mitzrayim, it was in the merit of Emuna that the Jewish people were redeemed out of Mitzrayim. So we see that they didn't lose that. Okay, so let's see weiter. So Malbim now explains that the same thing happens with the Beis Hamikdash. Because Temple Mount, the Har Maria, is such a pure and holy place where the Beis Hamikdash once was, now that the Beis Hamikdash is gone, that's why it sinks to the lowest level as well. That's why, for example, we have a mosque there, right? A mosque. It's not just empty. It's not nothing there. There is the biggest tumah possible that is now right there in the Makom HaMikdash. It's because that's a place where such kedusha could be achieved. So too, such tumah could be achieved as well. It goes hand in hand. The lower you go, the higher you go as well. The higher you go, then the lower you go as well. Okay,
but if you reach the lowest part, how do you get out of there? How can you get out to bring yourself back?
That's a good question. It's the whole.
Take an airplane.
There's two possibilities. There's one possibility is what's called Isarusa de Leila, that Hashem takes you out of that situation without any effort from the person himself. And there's what's called Isarusa de Latata. Isarus meaning awakening from the person himself, from the people themselves that are in that situation. It could happen one of two ways. And depending on how it happens, that will impact how far you go and what you can achieve, but it's a different talk for a different talk show.
So according to that, nothing is lost. It's not lost forever.
No.
No matter what, there's always a way to come back.
Yes.
And don't lose hope.
Don't lose hope. It's never too late. It's never too late. Yes. That is true. So let's see Vayter Pasuk Tes. V'amru al asher ozvu es Hashem lekeim asher hoytzi es avoysam eretz Mitzrayim ve'chzigu be'elokim achirim ve'ishtach bolem ve'yabdum al ken hevi Hashem aleim es kol ha'razlis. So what now? The nations of the world, when they see the low level where the Temple Mount is reached, they're going to notice, they're going to realize, they're going to recognize that it happened because the Jewish people did not follow their God, they did not follow Hashem, and they were punished in such a harsh way. Now, the Malbim points out that there's a difference between the way Hashem punishes the Jewish people and the way Hashem punishes the nations of the world. The nations of the world, once they engage in idol worship, okay, so Hashem punishes them, yes. But it's not on such a high level that compared to the Jews. I mean, when Hashem punishes the Jews for engaging in idol worship, that's in a much greater and deeper level. Because Hashem singled out the Jewish people, who are now the chosen people, and he said, okay, you're going to be the ones that are going to be my nation. When they go ahead and they betray HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they now engage in idol worship, Hashem punishes them in a much greater way. Right? All the other nations of the world, once they engage in idol worship, Hashem punishes them, but on a much lower level. Then, because Hashem is, so to speak, much more upset with the Jewish people, because you're going to be the ones to be my people, and now you're the ones to engage in idol worship. Because the sin is so much greater, that's why the punishment is so much greater.
It's because he took them out of Egypt to get them out of there. And yeah. He wouldn't get that deep in. I mean, he keeps saying, everything is saying, do this because I took you out. Do every other mitzvah because I took you out of Egypt.
Right.
It seems that's the basis. Over there, you would have been finished. There wouldn't be nothing. You'd have gone deep, and there was no way you're going to get out of there from over here.
Mm-hmm.
But now I saved you from getting all the way down. Now you can start building yourself up. So you should continue doing it. But if you don't, then there's a good reason for it, because I kept you out of Egypt. Without that, you wouldn't have been a name. There would have been nothing left.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
We don't have a Veda Zara today.
Right.
We have people that believe and some people don't believe, and it's in a foggy area, the way people believe. You believe one way, I believe another way. No, I don't think, there's no two people that believe in the same way. Am I right or wrong?
Well,
but the Veda Zohar, it said it was taken away from the world.
Right, they said the Yetzer Hara off of Avodah Zarah was taken away.
Yeah,
you don't have a Yetzer Hara to be Avodah Zarah. Yeah, that's correct.
The feeling.
I mean, maybe there's people that, you know, they bow down to the, you know, I don't know.
But it's like when they were praying to whatever they believed it. They believe this thing is helping, going to help them. It make them feel better for some reason. It was built into them, and that's why they couldn't stop it. So he had to pray to get that out of their system, you know, because you finished. They can't live with light with that there, with that possibility.
Right.
But only before Adam ate from the fruit, he could only live without the possibility.
Okay. Right. But he could say...
You know, remember you were talking about animals?
Mm-hmm.
Remember? He punished animals, too, because they weren't doing the right things. Remember last week you mentioned that?
Yeah.
About neighbors saying he wants the animals, they're only...
Yes.
Okay, no, but the thing is, I read another place, I don't know if it, that when Chava ate the thing, she ate it first, thought it was sleeping, and she gave it to the animals, too. They ate it, too, and they became not like they were supposed to be. So maybe that's what he meant, that the animals were going wrong and they would be punished too.
Mm.
This has all happened before Adam woke up.
Right. Right, we find not only that, we find that even the land, right, did not listen to Hashem.
I saw it someplace out there after Adam did it, okay? Here's the conversation she had before he did anything else. She said, Adam, I ate this, you're here, I'm here, doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
God's not, God's finished creating a woman. You ain't going to get no one, he's not going to create a woman. Either you have me, or you'll have nobody. I can't come back up, but you can come down.
Really?
So she gave him a, and he thought about it. He thought about it, and it seemed right. So he came down. And then, when Hashem, what did you do? He says to Adam, answered him, I ate from this, and I'll continue eating from that. Not that I sinned, but because that's the way it is now. You created me, her. You're not creating anybody else. This is it.
Right.
It wasn't that he was telling Hashem that he's glad he did something wrong. He says, Mamela, that's it. I can't do anything else about it now.
Right.
How does that sound?
Very interesting.
I've seen that. It's not, I'm not making it up. When he was talking about it, he said that she gave it to the animals, and that's why some of the animals weren't doing what they were supposed to do afterwards.
Very interesting. Okay. All right. It's time for Mencha.